Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Neighbours in an area of South Dublin have reportedly sought more than €200,000 each to not object to planning permission for housing development. The Irish Independent reported on Saturday that residents of a, quote, salubrious Southside Dublin suburb demanded €225,000 each in what is apparently known as go-away money for dropping objections to planning. I'm joined now by planning consultant Tom Phillips. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Claire.
Now, the Gardaí say they're assessing a complaint made in relation to this specific incident that I've just outlined there. Generally speaking, though, is that a problem that people involved in planning are aware of?
It is. It's becoming a problem again. It was a problem several years ago and the government tried to clamp down on it, but it is becoming an issue again, particularly given that the government have recently introduced a waiver for about a year on financial contributions that developers would have to pay in order to expedite the delivery of housing. So where someone has planning permission and they want to start development, the government have said that they don't need to pay levies for a year just to encourage people to get on with building sites. But the problem is, if you're appealed to the Planning Appeals Board, that clock is ticking and it's a defined window up to April next year. So with the delays with An Bord Pleanála, it means that people will lose that opportunity, and therefore the developer would also be open to the residential zone land tax and possibly also this land value sharing, another taxation. So they'd actually miss an opportunity of a waiver of one tax and would be exposed to two other taxes because they're appealed to An Bord Pleanála.
So big costs here. And you've heard directly from developers who've been impacted by this, who've been asked for this type of money.
Well, I was speaking to one over the weekend who said that it's an issue that has to be considered, because in the past it was a very big issue a few years ago. And it's only recently I've heard it being mentioned. But it's a major conundrum, because it only takes €20 to make an observation to a local authority, and then to appeal it to the board is only a small amount more. But for that, you can hold up a multi-million euro scheme, and a developer has to weigh the cost of delay. Because if you think in delays, a developer will finance a scheme on a particular set of assumptions that may change. So, for example, if you were doing assumptions 16, 17 months ago, you weren't writing into the Ukrainian war into that, or the cost of steel, or the increase in costs. So things constantly change. So if there's added costs to the construction, there's added cost to the people who buy. Mm-hmm. And all of this price eventually goes to the person who pays for the unit. So if somebody who's trying to get €200,000 to stop a scheme happening next door to them is putting that money onto their future neighbours.
Okay, now let's take it as read that most people who object have genuine concerns. But if there is a request for money, how does it work? Given that you've been speaking to somebody over the weekend who has direct experience of this, does the person put in an objection and then request a meeting with the developer to discuss?
I wouldn't go that far, no, but it would be that it would be a consideration that someone might think. The developer might be winging it up themselves. The one I spoke to actually was saying there was more an issue that he was thinking about it, like working out the pros and cons of this, because and it's a big issue. It's a big worry, and the last thing they need is a floodgate. And it's where people might, and I wouldn't necessarily say I agree with you that everybody, that all objections are good. I mean, a lot of them, what the planning legislation is actually about making observations. It doesn't actually say about making objections. Mm-hmm. And observations are supposed to be both pro and con schemes, and most people use it as an opportunity to oppose schemes, and often they oppose schemes that are built next door to where they were. Their house might have been in a green field 5 years earlier, and now they're objecting to somebody else. So, it's looking at this particular issue of the development waiver that and the residential zoned land tax, that those two issues have come in recently into the mindset of developers, and it's a huge penalty. So the government is saying, on one hand, we're going to give you a waiver on paying development levies, and on the other hand, we're introducing this residential zoned land tax. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the wording of it, it's interesting. In state documents, the accumulation of land to develop is called land banking, but if a private developer does it, it's called land hoarding. So it's the same activity, but if it's done by the state, it's banking. If it's done by a private developer, it's called hoarding.
Fionnán Sheehan reported in the article we're talking about at the weekend, contributions towards the development of community facilities and amenities are seen as normal and part of the process to show that there is a broader benefit. So Can residents of an area, Tom, ever get compensation for any sort of development that would impact on them? And is that a pretty normal part of the process?
Yeah, they do. I mean, like so there's certain schemes that would have been, like, I think the Aviva Stadium would make, there was contributions made to the local communities, and the Corrib gas field, as a condition of the planning permission, the Corrib gas field developers paid money to, they pay for sports clubs, etc., in the area. And a lot of the larger schemes, not so much residential, but mainly industrial or sporting, will finance operations in the area. But a lot of developers will also pay. They make contributions to schools, or they might pay for new computers in a school that are nearby as a kind of an acknowledgement that there is always disruption during construction and in order to compensate it. Mm-hmm. But paying individuals is a completely different matter.
But if a development might lower the value of a particular property, is compensation standard in that case?
It's not, because that's a very hard thing to demonstrate. I mean, it's often said that it talks about the residential amenity of an area, and it is an issue used by a standard phrase used by planners, but it's very hard to actually monetize. Is it actually a disimprovement or is it an improvement? Because in many cases, it could be an improvement to the area because they're bringing in facilities. So a large residential scheme will always bring in public open space that must be public. It can't be private. So the days of gated communities are gone. So all developments these days must be open to the wider public. And so it's very hard to prove that something actually is a disamenity to an area in terms of it. It could be that it's taller than everything else, but does that mean it's worse? And it's very much a subjective matter. But developers will have facilities that be building creches, they'll be building other things, public playgrounds that are not just for the residents of that estate, but might be for other people from around the area.
Mm-hmm. But people might feel, if I bought my house for 300,000, I'm entitled to it for it to remain valued at 300,000, or perhaps for that value to go up. Now, if there's an apartment block or a housing development built nearby, that's going to affect the value of my property. Do I have a right then to ask for compensation?
You don't have a right, no, because no one's a right. I mean, people only own their own property. They don't own their location. And something that I find very frustrating, people seem to think that they own the village in which they live in. They don't. We don't own towns, we don't own cities, and they constantly evolve. I mean, if you read, I was reading something recently to a local residence committee where I read out a description of a particular village, and I said, does anybody recognise this? And no one recognised it, because it was written in 1837 in Lewis's topography, and I was making the point that areas constantly evolve and constantly change, so you're not entitled to be compensated because development's taking some place somewhere else.
So ultimately, all of this will come back to the price of the individual home?
Correct. Absolutely, 100%.
Tom, thank you very much. Tom Phillips, Planning Consultant and Adjunct Associate Professor in Architecture and Planning at UCD.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.